So we'll go back to the topic we've been on. I'm sure you're gaining a lot from this topic, right? Someone say, I am. And what are you? I'm royalty. I'm blessed. Right? I'm born of God. Right? We've been on I'm born of God for a while. Well, I can do I'm born of God till the end of the year. Because it's so wonderful, the truths in the gospel. Let me tell you this. Miracles only buy you time for you to understand faith. Because to some Christians, everything about their life and Christianity is God should do something for me. You know, hence the questions you hear, right? If there's God, why is this happening? Because in their mind, everything's about we little beings walking on the face of the earth, and there's a big God who's checking, okay, this one is suffering, let me help him. This one is doing this, let me. If there's God, why is that happening? You see, from their questions, you get to realize that they actually don't even know God, so they don't even ask the right questions. If there's God, so then, if there was a God and he could not do this, then there's no God. Without taking into consideration at all that if he was a God, is that part of his job function? No, nobody's considering that. Is that, did he ever tell you that's his job function? See? Then the Bible said he's all powerful. If he can't do that, then he's not all powerful. That's why you must own a Bible. Because in the Bible, he speaks of himself. He speaks of the earth. He speaks of the heavens. He speaks of the relationships that all these have. Then you could be questioning maybe an unbeliever with that. Okay, what about Christians who don't even know that? I tell you, their knowledge of God is so deficient. It lacks the proper information. Christians, and you get to know it from their songs. See, you get to know it from their songs. Some Christians cannot write songs past Jesus died. They can't go past that. But, okay, Jesus died. He rose again. You became a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Then the assumptions begin. Oh, if I became a Christian, it means I became a follower of Christ. That's not all there is. In fact, you don't have the basics. Because when you talk about Christianity, you have to first of all talk about the life before you talk about the lifestyle. Maybe today we're going to go into some things. Right? I'm born of God. You see, to many people, a Christian is someone who was bad and has changed. Once I was a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was a sinner, saved by, you know, and it's good. It's good class one information. But then, is that all there is? Is that all you know? You know, what's going to happen is your life. The things will happen in your life. The things that you would accept. The things that will go on with you are all going to be dependent on this information you have about being a Christian. Then some also mix the Old Testament and New Testament, mix everything. So they go into the Old Testament and they don't even know the purpose of the Old Testament. If God didn't want us to follow the Old Testament, why is he Why did he put the Old Testament there? You don't even know the purpose of the Old Testament. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 15. Let's look at the purpose of the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 4. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Not necessarily our doing. They were written for our learning. That's what the scripture said. He said the things which were written aforetime. Now remember that at the time he's writing this, there's no New Testament. It's this he wrote that became New Testament. So at the time he's writing this, there's no New Testament. So everything he's referring to is what you call the Torah or the Tanakh. So he says those things which were written in the Tanakh, he said, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So some have not even gone into the scriptures to know what it really means to be say, I'm a child of God, or I'm born of God, or I'm a son of God, right? They don't know what it means. They're thinking, oh, just like everybody is a child of God, everyone in this world is a creation of God, but not everybody is a child of God. Because you have to understand that, you see, when it comes to these things, there are legalities. You see, there are legalities. If God calls you his child, it has to be legal. It has to be legal. Okay, think about it. Think about it. The whole world went into sin from the time of Adam. Now, if God wanted to have a group of people and call them his nation, I think that God should have just entered, because there were people, right? God should have just entered one of the nations and say, you guys, from today, you are for me, right? Nobody should say anything. From today, you are for me. No, God has to go to Abraham. God has to make a covenant with Abraham. Abraham has to give birth to Isaac. Isaac has to give birth to David. God has to have the people come out organically as his. Why didn't he go to just any nation and pick them out? Because that's not how it's done. It has to be legal. The people who are going to be cut out for him have to come through legally, through a system. So God doesn't just do anything the way people think. God just wakes up and does what he likes. So if there's God, why is this happening? And people remove the adversary out of the equation. The reason why there is hurt in the world, there is pain in the world, like you see it, is because it's not only you and God. There's an adversary. So they leave the adversary out of the equation and say, if there's God, why is this happening? If there's God, so as though it's between them and God, or it's between people and God. It's not just between people and God. It's people, God, and an adversary. So then, why doesn't God intervene since he is all-powerful? Do you ever read the Bible where he said that the heavens of the heavens belong to the Lord and the earth he has given to the children of men? The reason why God does not make interventions, and you have to understand, God is a legal person or a legal entity. Why? Because when you're looking at God, you are either looking at him as God the person or God the system. God is not only a person, God is also a system. The same way devil is, or when the Bible talks about Satan, he's not only a person, he's also a system. One time, Jesus Christ was with a woman who was bent double. This woman was bent double and she was just going this way. Jesus said, ought not this woman, look at it. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound. Book of John, I'll show you something. Someone say, I love the word of God. John chapter 9, I'll start from verse 1. But as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Let's hit some things, some things on the head. There, let's hit some things on the head. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. How many of you grew up hearing that babies are in heaven? Once people start having sex, then God gives them baby there. You ever heard it? Yeah, the babies are in heaven. So someone is praying for a baby from heaven. You see, it's when these things are not well understood that we will not start to blame God, because that has implication. If babies are coming from heaven and someone is looking for a baby and is not having it, then it means what? The angel has locked the babies. Right? So God has locked the babies. No, don't give this person. Don't give this person. Then someone who cannot take care of the babies, give them. Give them. Right? Someone who cannot, think about it. Someone who cannot, have you noticed that those who cannot really take care of their children have more? Yeah, so it's like the angels are saying, this one cannot take it. Give them, give them, give them. Then one rich lady somewhere who's just, oh Lord, I just want one. Saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. Let's teach them a lesson. Come on. So these thoughts produce all these theories and theologies. So then, because they don't understand it, when they are faced by unintelligent people who don't know Jack, they start thinking, Then they think at that time they became woke. You are nothing. You don't know anything. Because God does not give people babies from heaven. Before I come to John chapter 9, let me show you something, Isaiah. Should I go inside? Isaiah chapter 34. I have the wisdom of God in me. See, I'm wise, I'm wise, I'm wise, I'm wise, I'm wise, I'm wise. Yeah. How many of you have noticed that ever since you started confessing that you don't forget things, you stop forgetting? Yeah. All forgetting is a natural phenomenon of human beings, you know, with the brain. Come on. Isaiah 37. I'll start reading from verse 29. Now, this is a prophecy. I want to get this. This is a prophecy that was being given to the king Hezekiah concerning his conflict with a man called Sennacherib, who was a type of the Antichrist. All right? Because he was the king of Assyria. Sennacherib was a type of the Antichrist. So you see something God said, and you pick a principle from there. Now, anytime you go in the Word of God, it's either you are seeing a promise, a prophecy, or a principle. All right? It's either you see a promise, a prophecy, or a principle. So we'll pick a principle from here. He says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips. And I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. That's the prophecy to Sennacherib. So now God is telling Sennacherib by prophecy what is going to happen to him. But then he goes to Hezekiah and says something in verse 30. Let's go there. He said, come on. Never forget this. Never forget this. Never forget this. It will help you to understand God. He says, and this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth all of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat of the fruit thereof. He said, the first year it will be a miracle. You will eat what groweth by itself. The second year, miracle will happen again. He said, in the third year, start sowing. So when God starts something as a miracle, he expects it to be kept by a system. So he creates the first Adam, refuses to create again, gives the man semen, gives the woman egg. He said, from that time, there is a system from which you will now start giving birth. I'm not creating again.
Yes, sir.
So someone got a miracle in church. From that time, he's expecting miracle money every day. God is expecting the money to multiply by trade or by something you will do. So there are no babies in heaven. That's why your head does not look different from your father's head. So yes, in principle, yes, God created you, but not really. Your parents came together. Like I showed in the book of John, he said it was by the will of the flesh. When your parents came together, their genes, the things that pertain to them, is what came together. So yes, in principle, because the first man came from God, everyone came from God. Because the life that passes on from person to person is from the same source. So yes, God created everybody, but God is not sitting in one heaven like, oh Lord, give me a new kidney. The person's having a problem. God, give me a new kidney. Then there are kidneys in heaven. One angel is just molding the kidney quickly. God said, be fast, be fast, be fast. If there's God, there are people struggling in Somalia. those children who cannot eat. Why can't God just take food there? Go back to John chapter 9, from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. If we accept the theology that all babies come from God, that means God made this child blind. Because he was blind from birth. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Can you imagine? They said a guy was born blind. He said, this man. How can this man sin? Why did he sin? That he was born blind. But they have to blame someone. Then there's an error. In verse 3, there's an error in the translation. From the original Greek into this, there's a little error there. Because people have sung songs with this. And that paints a very, very interesting picture of God. So look at this. And Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's erroneous. Because think of it. Oh, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the word of God, the works of God should be manifest in him. That means God was timing this child. The child came and said, make him blind. I'll make him see. Then everybody will see that my works are manifest in him. That's what this scripture means. So I'm going to make, so it looks as though God is one hawk. He spots everything. Then we'll come and look for him. All right, I'll fix it for y'all. Then he fixes it. That's mistaken. That's not God. That's not the God of the Bible. Now, in this scripture, where the error is just in a simple punctuation. All right, so we'll read verse 3, then we'll read verse 4, then I'll do the punctuation change for you from the original, where the punctuation change was. Now, it doesn't make the Bible wrong, it's just the translators, all right? And mostly, you have to understand that the translators, in translating, just take for example, if someone spoke tree and you were translating it, what you know will color how you translate it. Because if I think that the word of God should be manifest in him, I'll say, hey, that's it. Hey. Because that's what I know about God. So, okay. This is not a Bible class or whatever, but there are three ways of translating. Not today. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. All right? So we read verse 4. Then he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh, which when no man can work. Now, these two statements don't have any correlation at all. He says, go back to verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Then he moves from there and says, I must work the works of him. No, that doesn't make any sense. The two statements are not correlating. Now, when you go to original Greek, go back to verse 3. There is a little, just a very tiny punctuation that changes the whole statement. So Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. All right, so you remove the full stop there and put a comma there. Now let's read it again and add it to verse 4. Remember, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. So it says, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. So Jesus is saying, neither has this man sinned, neither has his parents sinned, but if the works of God are going to be manifest in him, I must work. So Jesus, even though he's the Son of God, also representing as the Son of Man, what God is telling men is that if we don't step in, God's glory cannot be manifested. Right. So if there are children who are hungry somewhere, you step in, the works of God will be manifested. Yes, sir. So why is it me? That's it. Because the Bible says, the earth he has given to the children of men. So think about it. I'm sitting somewhere, I said, okay, I want to give four poor people food to eat that day. They get food that day. And they say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. The works of God have been made manifested. So Jesus said, let your light, come on, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and what? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. One time, I gave a family some money. They said, Pastor, this morning we're praying. All the children were praying. We're praying that God should send money. That God was not going to throw money from heaven. I'm born of God. Are you seeing? Yeah. If they got to understand the scriptures, they would know how God functions. And they knew how God functions, they would stop blaming God for things they should be blaming themselves for. The person complaining that pastors are not giving to the poor, the person bought data yesterday and is typing it. Shouldn't he start the giving first? Hypocrites. He should start the giving first now. Why did he buy data? He should give it to the poor. You walk the talk. Then we'll follow you. All right. So, number one about being born of God was what? What's point number one? Born with rights and privileges. Have you been exercising your rights and privileges? Right? God hears you, right? Say, Lord, I want this. Daddy, they said this. You know, when we're kids, one day, my dad was helping me to wear. I remember this. I don't remember many things from my childhood, but I remember this. So my dad was helping me to wear a shirt, right? You know how they'll put a shirt over your head, you put your hand in the shirt, you know? So my dad was helping me to wear a shirt. So while my hand was moving through the hand of the shirt, my hand pierced his eye. And tears began to come out. I'm like, what? Daddy cries? What? Nah. Because every child's daddy is a hero. I mean, sometimes we even fight about it in school. My daddy, if he comes here, he will beat everybody. Then all of us said, no, you don't know my daddy. When my daddy comes here, you know, that's our daddies are heroes. Sometimes something happens, said, I will tell for my father. Oh boy. Now you know I went to kindergarten. I will tell for you. I will tell for my father. That you go. You go straight to your daddy. Daddy, I said, who said that? Same way, when something hits you, you don't know where to turn to. You need to turn back like that little boy and go. Daddy, they said they'll not give me the job. Come, follow me. Let's go. Oh, boy. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah, born with rights and privileges. Then number two, born with the life and nature of God. And yesterday I talked about hissing. That's last Sunday. I talked about hissing. Born with the life and nature of God. If God speaks, I speak. Come on, do you know that? Oh boy, 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 boy. Do you know that in the book of Genesis, when God made man, Bible says that, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The actual Hebrew is not living soul. The actual Hebrew is man became another speaking spirit. So God is a speaking spirit. Man became another speaking spirit. Hey, come on. Man became another speaking spirit. Come on, can you imagine in Genesis chapter 1, God comes to the scene. He sees darkness over the whole face of the earth, and God is not thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Look at everything. Look at the earth. Look at the light is beneath the darkness. All those things are. God is not thinking what I'm going to do. God starts. Let there be light. And there was light. Come on. God starts speaking. God starts speaking. The same thing God wants us to do. Anytime there's any challenge that's overwhelming, God expects you to start speaking.
Yes, sir.
Because our words create our future.
Yes, sir.
Don't walk into a future you have not predicted.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just wondering, hey, what's this pastor saying? What's this pastor saying? Because all their life, when they go to church, they are taught about how bad they are and how they should change. No, I'm telling you how to change things, okay? All right? All right? All right? You find yourself doing some things you don't want to do. Say, oh, Romans chapter 7 said that the thing I do not want to do, that is the thing that I do. I've noticed that people read the Bible and they stop where it suits them. Yeah, I think they stop where they see that. Hey, for all I've seen, I catch off the glory of God. You see, all of us have seen. They don't read the next verse. The Bible says, in the next verse, it said, now being justified freely by his grace. They don't read the next one. Well, because the first one, they look at it and say, that's my experience. That's me. The rest can. Even if they see something else which is in their favor, it cannot be me. They are talking about somebody, maybe somebody else. I'm telling you how to change things. Man became another speaking spirit. We are born with the life and nature of God. The very life of God. Are you seeing?
Yes,
the very life of God.
Yes.
I'm not ordinary.
I'm not ordinary.
No, you didn't say it well. So I'm not ordinary. Because ordinary people, their words don't come to pass. Our words come to pass.
Yes, sir.
You understand? And if they utter words that we don't agree with, we utter greater words that cancel their words. Now, people don't understand this. People don't understand this. I want to take you, you know, like I told you the last time, I said language has evolved. There are many things that have changed over the years. For example, when you go to school and they say, you have to go and check some of the old words, especially the one from the era of the King James. You have to go and check some of those words. Some of those words are used today, but they've lost a certain essence, but that is what was meant. Okay, I'll give you an example. Like a word like, they'll say, spell fruit. F-R-U-I-T, fruit. You see, you're spelling it. In today's dictionary, they will give you two meanings of the word spell, but it's not so. In the actual etymology of that word from that time, especially from the time of the King James, when some of those words began to come out, the word spell was not two. The word spell is to cast a spell. Language is what people use to cast spell. So people think that words are just used. So the same way someone will look at it and say, be blessed. He's casting a spell. Then the same way the person, someone who is also, you know, from a wrong part and does not want to, he said, no, be nothing. Then he said, he's casting a spell over the person. If that person doesn't have greater words, this thing is going to work over the person. Do these things work? Try it and see. I refuse to be broke. I refuse to walk in unrighteousness. Are you getting it? Yeah. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm born of God. Say, I have rights and privileges. I have the life and nature of God. That's who Christians are. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That means this was God's highest. Oh boy. This was God's highest. That we will be called the sons of God. Why did Jesus come? Jesus didn't come to pay for your sins alone. People think Jesus came to just pay for our sins. No. The sins we had was a hindrance to the real thing God wanted to do. That's the reason why he had to pay for the sins. But the reason was not to pay for the sins. I'll show you in a bit. What God actually wanted to do, he could not do if we had sins. So he had to clear the sins first. But that was not the reason why he came. That's why after the cross, he had to go further. Why? Because that's not the main reason why he came. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The Bible says the world knoweth us not. You see, that's how come we are sitting in a class with all the people who are not born again, and they think we are like one of them. They don't know us. I pity Christians who sit down and are so ordinary. Oh boy, there was a story. There was a story of an eagle that had an egg. Had an eaglet in this egg. And that egg was put among the eggs of the chickens. After some time, this egg hatched. This eaglet came out and was with the other chicks. According to that story, anytime the chicks were eating maize, this eaglet would be eating maize. Why? He doesn't know any life. Even though he has the life of an eaglet and should be flying high, he doesn't even know he can fly. He doesn't know he can fly. Jesus there, eating. Then the mother and girl, all of you can. Then all go. There's a hawk coming to chase them. Then they're all running. He's an eaglet with the life of an eaglet, but the lifestyle of a chicken. That's how some Christians are. They are sons of God with the life of God, but the lifestyle of men. That's why he said in Psalm 82, go back there, go to Psalm 82 from verse 5. From verse 5. They know not. As simple as this is, he said, they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Then he says, verse 6, I have said. The actual rendering says, but I have said. That means God told them before. He said, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Then it goes to verse 7. But he shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. That's them, not me. Okay, now, he says, but he shall die like men. That means they are not like men. Why are they dying like men? Let me show you something. 2 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 31. And David said to Joab, and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes. Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. Now, who was Abner? Abner was the chief security officer of Saul. Now, this man did not want to agree that David had become king. But after a while, Abner realized that David is going to become king. Let me just go and submit. So Abner now decided. So the day Abner went, now there was a long-standing fight between Joab and Abner. Abner had killed Joab's younger brother. So Joab had meant him long time. So when Abner was coming to as a changed man, all right, and a chief security officer of Saul, he knew all the combat of Israel. He was a chief security officer, so he knew all the things of war. So David was looking at Abner. If Abner is the chief security officer of Saul, he must know some secrets. He must be smart. He must be sharp. So Joab had now killed Abner. Now David began to lament for Abner. David was such a good man. Now he began to lament for Abner, and he says, now, and David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier, all right? Not beer, right? Verse 32. And they buried Abner in Hebron. Oh, come on. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. See something David said in verse 33. Go to verse 33. He says, and the king lamented over Abner and said, diet Abner as a fool diet. He said, diet Abner as a fool diet. So Abner, why did you die like this? When we say things like this, people think we are just talking. Robbers came to my house. There are only two houses. They robbed one. They just left me and just went. You rob?
Yeah. Hey. You go rob.
You will rub. They finish rubbing, they just carry their things, and they just went to like this. Verse 34. David said, Abner, thy hands were not bound. So now did you die like this? Your hands were not bound. Akosua, why did you feel like this? Was your tongue not working?
Hey! 2 months,
nobody has bought anything from your shop. Are your tongues not working? I said, match of big things. Some people are sitting down for it to happen. You have to wake up at midnight. You have to wake up at midnight and start speaking. He said, David said, Abner, how did Joab kill you like this? He said, your hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. He said, as a man falleth before wicked, so fellest thou. David and his lamentations. Let's go. 2 Samuel chapter 1. There was another one over there. Verse 19. At this time, Saul is dead. Saul is dead. David began to lament over Saul again. In fact, this one came before Abner's own. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty falling? In fact, let me tell you what happened. I came the next day. In fact, the day the robbers came, myself and my wife were all having all night. She was having all night with Modu Church. I was having all night with the PCF leaders. We were all night. So, enter. When I came back the next day, they were standing outside like this. So they all started introducing themselves because it's quite a new place and they are just moved in. It's quite a new place. So they said, the guy said, I am Albert. Who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Enoch. He said, oh. he started registering now. Oh. So I didn't know. Then they started telling me, oh, wow. So I started calling. I said, is it true? They are joking. No. Like I said all the time, you slept, you dreamt, you were eating, you woke up, you are disturbed. You're coming to disturb me on Sunday. Pastor, please. I dreamt that I was eating kokonte. When you wake up from such nightmares, wake up and say, they are joking and sleep again. Pastor, you know, you have to know the cosmic. That's your problem. The cosmic is your problem. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty falling? Next verse. Tell it not in Gath. Publish not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. You know, when bad things happen to Christians, the unbelievers are like, where's their God? Come! So David said, don't tell it in Gath. Don't tell it among the Philistines. The daughters of Philistines will gather and say, their God, Kai, don't let them say this thing about your God. You see, you are saying God should not let them say bad things about him, about your life. God is saying, you, don't make them say bad things about me. Woof! Next verse. Oh, David. He said, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be no rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. He said, Saul died as though he was not anointed, because the kings of Israel don't die like that. I forbid you from dying. Someone is listening and say, hey, Pastor. Pastor, everybody and his time. Well, it's not my time. just like Pastor B said. He said, we don't know who is next, but we know who is not next. If they put you on that hospital bed, am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. We can pray for your healing. But when they put you on that hospital bed, yes, they put you on that hospital bed, something has happened. While you're on that bed, be speaking in tongues. Don't be there and say, oh God, what have I done? Oh God, what have I done? You die like that too. Oh God, what have I done? You are lying on the bed. They say your right leg cannot move. You start speaking in tongues. When they tell you, please keep quiet, you say, Rete, rapaba. Sit down for a moment. Bad things will not happen to you. Only good things will happen to you. Only great things will happen to you. You see, born with the life and nature of God, you shall be the head and not the tail. I see. You wake up, I'm the head and not the tail. When you say that and they bring some testimonies I've been getting, the children's church, they've been making this conversion. And that's one thing about children. Children just believe what you tell them. The testimonies I've been getting is, these young children in the children's church have been topping their class in school. Some of them who used to be last. They go there and you think it's just children's church. No, in our ministry, children's church is not is where you come and keep your children while you are listening to the word of God. You know. So in some places, it's like prison. Ah, please, I'm free for the next 2 hours. Then they go and put them in prison and come and sit down. Ah, this 2 hours has been great. Now, parents have started coming with their children. Ah, Pastor, I want to thank you so much. My children, they are doing well. They are doing well in school. They are doing well. Yeah. You heard about it. Yeah. That's what has been happening, because when they go there, they don't do singaros, carpet full of rose. I teach you. They all fall down. Ezekiel prophesied to them. That's what they are doing. When you go there, you hear them say, I'm born of God. I'm wise. Sit down for a moment. When you wake up in the morning, let the word of God come out of your mouth. You wake up in the morning, you start feeling weak. You say, I'm strong. No, don't hold your waist and say, I don't know what's happening. I don't know that. No, I'm strong. Sit down for a moment. Oof. Are you sure you're here?
Yes.
Yeah. You go there, they are learning about David. They are learning about David and Goliath. You see, you, the grown-up now, you think it is bedtime stories. You think it's Bible stories. So they are believing it. You are accentuating it. In your mind, David and Goliath. We know David, he took that stone and he threw it and hit Goliath. No, you're not seeing the possibilities of Goliath-like situations. And your David-like faith. If there's any court case against you, you are winning.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I said you are winning.
Yes.
I'm winning.
I'm winning.
I'm winning.
I'm winning.
I'm winning. Pastor, I saw Satan in my dream. Kai. Satan appeared in your dream. He was not afraid. Born with the life and nature of God. Salakabara dabaya. Sobre katakaya. Solamatakayaba. Lekorababa. Born with the life and nature of God. Born with the life and nature of God. You know, something funny happened when I went to Excellence Fellowship on Monday. Yeah. I just demonstrated something small for them. And I've been having a mentorship program with some cell leaders. After June, I'll bring in a new set. After June, there'll be a new set. Now, I've been teaching them about the power of God. I said, how to wield the power. I've just been teaching them normal power, how you play with power. You understand? If you were the child of a witch, now they'll be training you on how to kick people's head at night, right? If you're a child of a witch, they'll tell you, hey, do it like this. Yeah, that's what they do. How can children of God, you don't play with power?
Power!
That's why you should take your younger siblings to the children's church there. They'll be teaching them how to lay hands.
Yes, sir.
So I went to the children's fellowship. I'm just about closing the program. I said, if you are deaf in any year, who is he deaf in any 1 year? Then one guy in front said, I'm deaf in 1 year. And I asked him a question. I said, can I open it for you? Hey. It's a question. It's a question. It's a question. Yeah. It's a question. If the guy says no, I'll go to my house. Who was in that meeting? Give her a microphone. Let her tell you. It's a canal open. I'm teaching you what to do. Go home and go and open things. I'm not trying to show you how powerful I am. I'm telling you, this is the life and nature of God. I asked the guy, can I open it for you? What happened?
Thank you very much, Pastor, for the opportunity. So, the fellowship meeting, you were preaching. Then, it was an impactful meeting. Then you asked, is there anyone who has who is deaf in one ear? And my mind was like, what were the odds
that there will be a deaf person there?
Because like I didn't know. And then,
there were like 70 people. So. If it's 700, 7,000, you know that there can be a deaf person. 70 people, what are the odds? Nice question.
So, a man in front, a young man raised his hand. He said he's deaf in one ear. And he has been deaf since, I think, age 13 or something like that. And he said one day he was there, then he realized that his ear started closing. And you asked him, can you open his ear? And he was like, yes. So that's just how we were there. Then I think you prayed for him and you mentioned, I think we also tried to say some things and he could hear. And like, I was like, so you can hear? it was miraculous. It was, I've seen it all, but this one I could see it was right in front of me.
Hey! You said something, I want to correct you. You said I prayed for him. No, I opened the ear.
Yes, yes. Hey!
When you go home, you have a sibling with a deaf ear. Go and open the ear.
You know, as Christian, we need to be humble.
See you, look at you. Look at you. Jesus Christ didn't say, pray for me to heal the sick. He said, when you go, heal the sick. You think God is impressed by that, your fake humility?
No, we need to give all the glory to the Lord.
You think God is impressed by that, your fake humility? Jesus Christ said, when you go, heal the sick. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. The only thing is that he said, do it in my name. I opened the guy's ear. Hey, some people cannot understand it. It's not a special anointing. Go and do the same thing. Are you listening to me? And that mentorship program I'm having with the cell leaders, I send them to hospitals. This young man went to a hospital. This young man who's standing here, this guy, and Christian, they went to a hospital. The people were bedridden. They lay hands on them. People started walking. They started walking. Let me tell you something. Your Christianity is too boring. It's too boring. You have not caused problem for the devil. It's too boring. Enter a hospital and tell them, hey, any sick person here, lift your hand. Today is your day. You see, you are thinking what will happen. Go and do it first.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they started going to hospital. They said, bringing people out of the hospital. And you know what? As the miracle started happening, some of them were going to meet people with oxygen tank, removing the oxygen tank. As the miracle started happening, other people started believing. So you see, by the time they're going, people say, hey, me too, pray for me. Oh boy. You will do mighty things. I said you will do mighty things. So rakabaya. Yeah, I see you taking over. I see you making progress. You are not receiving it the way you should be receiving it. I see you making progress. I see you moving forward. If you are the father of the house, you are the husband of the home, when you go home today, it's not like before. When you enter there, you tell them, you tell everybody, including your children, your wife, you say, I came to bless this home today. Matoke Masataya. You know, I came to bless you. I came to bless home today. I came to bless you people today. Matola Basa. Sometimes I enter my house like that. I say, yeah. Even though I have only one soul in my house, but no problem. Yeah. Yeah. We bless their soul like that. Katalabaya. Salakatalabaya. Likalabaya. Rakababaya. Satalabaya. Rakabasata. You see, this is the reason why we speak in tongues. When we speak in tongues, our consciousness of divine things goes to the top. Sora makalabaya. Lesetakabaya. Rasatakabaya. Lekalabaya ba satalabaya. Setalababaya. Yalaba satalabaya. Rabababaya. Rasatalabaya. Lekalabaya ba salababaya. Murakaba shada baraba shada baba. Rabakaba shada baraba shada baba. Yakaba satalabaya. Setalababa. Sit down for a moment. Just a minute. Many years ago, I preached somewhere. I was on campus. And I told them, you don't have to die if God has not called you. All of them got angry. And they left. They left the meeting. And I remember that it happened to Jesus one day. He was preaching. And he told them he's the bread and the blood. And that they should eat his flesh and drink his blood. They got angry and they all left. And it was left with his disciples. That day, it was also left with my members. Every other soul that came left. They said they didn't understand why I'm just saying that. They should not die. That day was the day I knew that people like dying. That was the day. Put your hand around your body. Say, death. Does not work in this body. No, you didn't say it well. Say, death. Does not work in this body. Say it again. Does not work in this body. Yeah. 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 I listened to the highly esteemed Reverend Tom. He says he lays his hands on himself more than he lays hands on people. Lay hands on this body. Don't allow nonsense in this body. Are you listening to me? Don't allow nonsense in this body. You are born with the life and nature of God. Yes. Born with the life of God. Don't be an eaglet among chickens. Yeah. Don't be an eaglet among chickens. Now, I was telling you that story. I did not end that story. That story. One day, that eaglet saw an eagle flying. Then he looked at himself. Saw the eagle. Look at himself. Then he looked at the chickens again. Say, I'm not from here. I'm not part of them. Then that eaglet managed to get on a wall and try to fly. Fell. Went again. Tried to fly. Fell. The third time he tried to fly, realized she was flying. Then she said to himself, I knew I was not part of them. Why? It took that eaglet seeing another eagle to know that I'm not part of them. It's like that human that was raised in the midst of monkeys. He was acting like a monkey, moving like a monkey, until he saw other humans. So I'm not part of them. Look at the caterpillar, you see, and the one that's supposed to be a butterfly. They are all the same until the time that the wings appear. So he said in 3 John chapter 1, sorry, did I say 1 John chapter 3? Right? 1 John chapter 3, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. From verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Yes. Yes. In verse two, he says, beloved, now. Someone say now.
Now.
No, you didn't say it. Say now.
Now.
Is it in heaven? After rapture? Huh? When we die. Now. Tell somebody now. Right? Now. He said, behold. He said, beloved. Now are we the sons of God. 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 Then he adds something to it. He said, and it doth not yet appear. You see, when they look at us, we look like them. So they think we are like them. We are not like them. He said, doth not yet appear what we shall be. He says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So now we are. But you see, it does not appear so. Our bodies, just like their bodies, we eat where they eat. You see, we do the same assignments with them. So it looks like we are the same with them. But the scripture says that the day Jesus will appear, we will have a glorified body and we will look different. Yes, it said does not appear now, but now we are. We still are. Are you seeing? We still are the sons of God now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Speak in tongues. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God? Let this be in your consciousness. Listen. Let this thing be in your consciousness. You have a superior advantage in this world, and it's your sonship with God. Like father, like son. Kala masote kaya. Like father, like son. You see how they say it? A chip of the old block. They should start saying that about Christians as well. A chip of the old block. Like father, like son. Fearing nothing. Fearing nothing. Yes. Yes. I refuse to be ordinary. I refuse to be ordinary. Say, I'm not ordinary. You see, this is what gives credence to our humility. You see, if we are special, we are humble, it makes our humility special. See, I see things that have been stagnant. I see things that have been stagnant that they start moving now. They start moving now. You know, a young man came to see me this week. Yeah. Yeah, and a young man came to see me this week and he said, Pastor, it's like my business has been stagnant. I looked at him and I laughed. I said, things don't get stagnant for God's people. And he was like, but Pastor, it looks like everything has been stagnant. I said, things don't get stagnant for God's people. I said, keep doing what I say. Keep speaking the word. And I said, you know why? I told him, I said, it will look like it's been stagnant for 3 months. 4 months. I said, keep doing what you're supposed to do. By the 5th month, when things start moving, it will be double. It will be triple. I said, because things don't get stagnant for God's people. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Are you seeing? Say, things don't get stagnant for me. You know, I was listening to a man of God, Pastor Chris, one time, and he said something, and I caught it, and I've been saying it ever since. He said, everything grows around me. No, say, everything grows around me. Everything grows around me. Pastor, I've been struggling and struggling. No, say it. Everything grows around me. Nothing is stagnant around me. Everything grows around me. Yes, you are moving forward. You are making progress. You are moving forward. You are making progress. You know, I want them to put the affirmations on the screen. I want us to make some affirmations. Be on feet. Let's make these affirmations. When you finish making them, you will speak in tongues. Then you say them to yourself. You will keep them on the screen. Did you send it to them? No, I think it should fill the screen, please. So we can, yeah. They don't need to see me at this point. Yes. Yeah. Kora Makaba. Someone say, I am. I am. Say, I'm born of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Oh, I'm a possessor of all things. I am grace advantage. I am special. I'm royalty. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, say, I'm reigning in Christ. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm full of love. Yes. I'm a tree of righteousness. I am wise. I'm greatly rich. I'm a money magnet. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm laying up God as dust. Speaking other tongues at this point. I'm strong. I'm strong. Talk to your weak body. Talk to your limbs. Talk to your toes. Talk to your vessels. Talk to your tissues. Tell them you are strong. Tell them you are strong. Talk to your digestive system. Talk to your stomach. Talk to your intestines. Talk to your eyes. Talk to your bones. Talk to it. Say you are strong. Say, bones, you are strong. Talk to your cells. Talk to your tissues. Talk to your ligaments. Talk to your eyes. Talk to your brain. I am what God says I am. Sume, subelai. I am what God. I'm a tree of righteousness. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. Death cannot live in this body. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. All grace abound towards me. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can.